grab your torch and dip it into the sexy St. Jeff candle. No Buffs is back. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory along with my fellow tribe members, two of the hottest Survivor podcast dads in the game, Trey Kirby and J.D. Yeah. What's up, hotties?
What's up? It's not even close, I don't think.
Who's even in the running with you guys?
Well, Tyson, maybe.
Yeah, Tyson.
Rob.
Sure.
Riley which... McAfee.
Sure.
Wait, is Riley a dad?
Oh, you got to be a dad. Good point.
You got to be
point.
A dad. Good point. Yeah, yeah, good point. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's why I'm out dad. Of the running.
Yeah, you're a dog dad.
That's true. I'm the hottest dog dad dude in the game. We're here to recap episode 7 of Survivor 46 titled Episode Several. Shout out to Jelinski. Probes respects the legend. Hello to the live tribe joining us right now on YouTube. Take a second. Smash that like button. Subscribe if you haven't. Share the show with your friends. And podcast listeners, do us a favor. Leave these sexy dads a 5-star rating and review on the platform of your choice. Okay. What an episode. Best episode of the season. By far, I would say.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, a great episode. This is the Emmy episode. Like, this is what you're going to take. Jeff and his producers are going to package this up and send it in to the Emmys for nomination because it was great. It was great. And now, you know, you could argue that there haven't been a lot of great episodes this season.
Yeah, that's more along my thinking. I'm hoping there's better episodes to come.
But you submit every year, Skeet. So, I mean, so far, this is the Emmy one.
It's true.
I mean, I would. And I thought it was Emmy worthy. I enjoyed every second of this one.
Okay, well, let's break it down in detail. We start this episode, night 13, post-tribal council. We got a new tribe name. Nui Nui.
Nui Nui.
Nui Nui is the tribe name for now the merged tribe. Venus not happy about seeing her name written down on one piece of parchment paper. She is convinced Soda did it.
Yeah.
Now we know Charlie did it, but she's like, nah, Soda did it. In fact, the two of them go to like the water well and are just like airing their grievances. Man, these two, they don't hold back when they talk to each other.
No.
They seem to be friends by the end of the episode, like good-natured enough, but man, when they talk to each other, it's like, whoa, relax, everybody.
Yeah, definitely like a frenemies kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I feel like between them, I guess Soda has said in her post-game press that they were like each other's number one starting at the beginning of the season. We never get the like closeness between them. We only ever get to hear them fighting with each other, but they do talk to each other like they're close.
Yeah.
And that you can say mean things to somebody who's going to forgive you later on.
Yeah. That seems right. And so, again, it looks like, to Venus, Soda did this, okay? She probably voted for me, and we could just leave it at that. But Charlie, he decides he's got to come clean. He's got to confess to Venus that he was the vote, JD. And he tells her. Were you shocked by that? And Q wasn't happy.
Q scolds
him.
Yeah, he went into coach mode too many times this episode. Oh. I mean, yeah, I was disappointed because I was loving the friction. Mm-hmm. I didn't help that Soda was like, oh, it must have been Mo that voted for you. And then, of course, Mo didn't have a vote. You know, easy to forget.
Yeah,
but it didn't make her seem any less guilty by, you know, throwing Mo under the bus,
right,
who was already voted up. But I just love Venus. Watching her play is just like, it was Soda. In your face, Soda. I'm confronting you right away. As soon as I see you, I'm just going to blurt it out. It couldn't have been anybody else. There's, you know.
I know.
Whether there's 12 people or 11 people, right?
Yeah.
So anyway.
12 at that point.
So I love how hot-headed she is. I love how she consistently basically blows up her game, but then she's fine. It doesn't really faze her or bother her. But I did love this sort of... you know, when Charlie pipes up and she's like, oh, God damn it, I just had this whole thing with Soda. You know?
Like, they didn't show us the scene, but did she apologize to Soda?
She
and say, them. Okay, my bad. Whoops. I guess
you're wrong.
I was Charlie. But yeah, Q, not happy with this.
Yeah.
Because he's like, all the attention was going to be on Soda. What are you doing? Charlie admits to him, to Q, like, okay, I messed up. Sorry, coach. Won't happen again. Give me another down.
Yeah.
I'll run it up the gut. I won't try and go outside. But he does tell us then in confessional, Charlie, just getting tired of Q running the show.
Sure.
And that has been a theme here for a couple episodes, definitely a lot more. And this one's not just Charlie, obviously Kenzie and Tiff as this goes on. Everybody's getting a little done with Q just telling them like what they're doing wrong, but usually what they're doing, what they're either doing right or what they're usually doing wrong. He just like, he's convinced like, why isn't everybody doing just what I want to do?
Follow the game plan.
It's like, yeah, the game plan is for you to win. That's your game plan, but that's not anybody else's game plan.
I mean, to be fair, I would be mad too if people weren't doing everything that I told them to do. Yeah. So that I could win $1 million. Yeah. That's very disrespectful. But I think Charlie is really smart. Literally, anytime somebody comes up to talk to him, he's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He just completely agrees with them, and they're like, oh, you're not a threat because you agree with me. You must be a good guy.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, we've got Q bossing around everybody to do. Even in the next time on Survivor, he's like, I'm a mob boss.
Yeah.
I'm like, you are definitely playing the Boston Rob, Godfather, nobody talks to anybody role out there, but I don't think he has that kind of control, nor do I think he has the relationship with Charlie to be coming at him like that. They haven't been together on anything, have they?
I mean, no.
No.
So why is it? Why would Q then think that Charlie is going to do everything he tells him to?
I don't know. He thinks he's doing everyone a favor. Honestly, he's like delusional a little bit. Like, let me tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And maybe this is all Banu's fault for all we know. Like, got him off on that path. But like, he just goes to everyone. But he, you know, he says like in the next time on Survivor, yeah, I'm a mob boss and all that. And he does want to dictate the game. But like a mob boss is a little more cool and calculated.
Right.
This guy's changing his plan, like, literally feels like every 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. So it's a weird, like, mixture of the personalities where he's like, I'm going to control everything, but it's not, like, calculated and, like, you know, he like, relaxed. It's the opposite.
He's very knee-jerk. Frantic. He's, yeah. Like, the worst kind of mob boss. Like, just, he's sort of acting a little weird. Whack him! Get rid of him!
Yeah.
You know, like, that's how he's acting. I think Q's just like that. He's just coach by nature. He's like, let me pull you aside, son, and tell you why you shouldn't have fucking told Soda or told Venus that you voted for. And to be honest, I don't. Does it ever come clear? Like, why did he say? Why did he come clean? I mean,
I don't know. Just his conscience?
Conscience,
you know,
or.
He would have got found out.
Yeah.
Everybody else would have, like, somehow revealed it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's why I was like, "What you should tell her rather than somebody else tell her."
Because
if somebody else tells her, then you're like, "Oh, I'll never trust Charlie again."
That's fair.
Yeah. And he had a fair enough reason to vote for her. She was throwing around his name the entire last episode.
Totally.
So it wasn't like an out of nowhere vote or anything. Yeah. Like he had a bit of reasoning. Of course, then blow back if, you know, a shot in the dark is played and all that.
Sure.
So just covering his ass. But yeah, I did think this was a great post-tribal council, like, scene or first act here.
Totally.
All the times are just like, you're just going through the motions, you're slowly getting into the episode. I just thought this one was awesome. There was a lot going on. It continued in through the night on night 13. After the opening credits, Ben wakes up from a dream, and he's having a panic attack, and Kenzie helps him calm down, and she tells us, like, he has experience with anxiety in her family. Really touching moment. I thought from both sides, them talking to each other and then in confessionals separately, Ben and Kenzie here going through this. Allison did tweet at us, though. Are they allowed analog watches on the island? I've never noticed, but Ben said Kenzie woke him up at 1 a.m. or woke up with him at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
How did he know what time it was? They don't have watches. But
the moon.
Yeah, maybe he knows the moon. Anyway, funny little
he also knew it was exactly 50 seconds that he was freaking out.
That's true. Is he literally just clocking it? Yeah, what'd you think of Kenzie here helping him out, though? It's just a personal scene here.
Yeah, just a nice personal moment.
Yep.
But I do think that it seems to me Ben and Kenzie could be close going further. And then, as we see later on in this episode, Kenzie chooses to vote out not Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it
mm-hmm.
could have been Ben.
Yep.
Probably should have been Ben, if we're being honest. But Kenzie sides with Ben, and I can foresee him, now that Siga is starting to fall apart, what if Ben hops in with the Yanu 3? And then they've got a 4 that's actually pretty tight.
Yeah.
Pretty smart, I thought. I mean, it didn't seem to me like Kenzie was using Ben's moment of weakness as a way to further herself in
right.
the game, but I think it does.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Very, very nice moment. Kenzie is very high in my power rankings
She's on a good run right now.
She's on a great run. You know, I loved last week her analogy of being like a cast iron pot after everything that they've been through, you know, and she's kind of having a bit of a glow up now that they're in the merge, She's jauntily wearing her buff as a ribbon in her hair. Or Rachel's like, how did she do that? Look amazing. And I'm like, you know, she's definitely hitting her stride, and she just seems like a very sweet, genuine person. I don't know. I like Kenzie.
These two, I would say, Ben and Kenzie, are like two of the most likable people maybe out there. There's some other ones, but at least playing social games, seem to be liked by everyone. They seem very sincere. So yeah, maybe they should stick together and be there at the end with each other to, you know, to both sit there, and they could be seen as threats, obviously, social games with their social games, but we'll see. It was a cool moment, and I love those confessionals for sure that they were sharing. Day 14, immunity reward challenge. We're going to be balancing on platforms out in the ocean. Now, Probst gives us the twist. We're playing for 2 immunity necklaces, and 2 people will be going home. They'll be drawing rocks to split them into groups of 6. Last person left standing wins coffee, tea, sandwiches, danishes,
meat pies,
the weirdest collection of random food shit for this
from
lunch.
Leftovers, craft services.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, here you go.
It was definitely a free donuts in the break room. Yeah. So what do we got left over? Come down. You can have anything you want.
Yeah, for
tuna
sure.
Sandwiches and coffee.
And then the losing group will also go to tribal council first, and that person voted out won't make the jury. So there's a lot on the line here. We divide the teams up. Purple, Soda, Liz, Maria, Charlie, Venus, and Tevin. Orange is Tiff, Kenzie, Hunter, Ben, Q, and Tim. We get the flashback to the last time they did this.
Yeah.
Thing lasted like 3 minutes because of the rough conditions. And this was, like Probe says, like a lake. It was so calm.
It wasn't like that when they got dropped off, though, because when they got off the boat, it just seemed rocky. And I was like, okay, here we go. This is going to be another one of those, rocky, crazy experiences for them. But then weirdly, I guess it was all the boats coming in and all the wake and stuff, but I just felt like some of them were like shivering as they got off the boat. I don't know, I just thought, okay, here we go. And then I was like, dead calm.
They didn't even show us them on the bottom, like, quote unquote,
they didn't
easiest
bother.
Platform.
They didn't bother.
Or did they did they even go to it? No,
I think so.
Yeah, there's like, just go to the middle because it's gonna take a while as it is.
Yeah
So they're so bored out there while they're standing there. Q starts up the alphabet game, but no one knows how to play it,
right,
at least to his liking. That was a really funny scene. And then they were leaning into just pissing him off, but he kept chiming in that they're doing it wrong. That was great.
Great moment from Charlie going back to Baltimore, especially setting him up like, oh yeah, I know what we're doing. But I mean, I think that one's on cue. If you want to be the coach, you should explain the rules of the game before you start playing.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Because they just thought, okay, we're playing the alphabet game. We're going to name cities.
Yeah.
You know, you'll do one with A. I'll do one with B. Then JD will do one with C. But I guess the difficult part of the game is having to remember what people said.
Right. So the main infraction, I was a little confused.
I was too at first.
So he was mad because they were saying A for Atlanta and then B for Baltimore. Right? That was the first thing that he didn't like, right?
No,
the problem is that the second person has to say A for Atlanta, B for Baltimore.
You have to repeat.
Then the next person has to do those two.
Oh, you have to repeat.
Yeah, but they just kept saying like the next letter, and he's like, no, you need to say the first part.
Right. Gotcha.
Which, again, that sort of makes it the more difficult part.
Totally.
You could go quite a while probably just naming cities with the, you know, corresponding letter, but it's to remember them in order. Anyway, very funny stuff here. Probst then drops in honor of Jelinski. You've been up here for several minutes. Okay.
Great. That's great.
This guy is right. He's literally a legend. They're bringing him up 6 episodes later.
I know.
He's got to come back. I think there's never been somebody that's a first boot that I'm like, they have to come back, but Jelinski has earned it.
I disagree. I mean, I love him, and he is a legend for the exact opposite of what he wanted to be a legend
yes,
for.
Yes, true.
And bringing him back is just going to sully that legend, I think.
Just keep him as a first boot legend.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. He flamed out, and, you know, hat tip to him. And let's every episode 7 moving forward will be episode several. Legends never die. Drop a Jelinski here and there. for the rest of time. But never, you can never bring him back.
Okay. You might be right. You might be right. Okay, so all 12 of them successfully make it past the first round. But then when they're doing the transition, we get Q and Soda who fall. Q will later tell us that he fell on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have an opinion on that? Do you think he purposely took a tumble, or is he, you know, now changing the story here because he fell in?
I think he's maybe changing the story, but also, like, I don't know. Maybe he felt like, I'm falling anyways. I'm not going to try and save it. I don't know.
This was a transition.
Like, one he would win anyways.
Yeah,
because he doesn't
true.
Win any.
Yeah. This was a transition from the perch to just the top.
Right.
Which was quite large if you looked at it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that rocky.
No.
You know, I mean, I know that's moving a little bit because you're above the water, but he did take quite a tumble in. That was the only part where I was like, maybe he did. I don't know.
Yep. I mean, the conceit is that he's been just laying low this whole time, which I don't buy. Like, just he was on the losing tribe for so long.
Oh, he was trying in those.
Well, but he was kind of making it seem like he wasn't. Like, I don't want to be a threat.
I think now at the individual part of the game.
But why wouldn't you want individual immunity on the, like, it's just, it's a silly strategy if you ask me. But
right.
Anyway.
Okay, so he goes, like I said, Soda goes. Ben then loses his balance next. We get Hunter with a funny line. Makes you appreciate those elapsed time moments that you see on previous episodes of Survivor, which is great. Then we get another fun silly scene of Tim saying, "What's up, Jeff?" And Jeff really thinks he's just saying hi to him.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, thanks for the shout-out. And then Q, who's sitting on the bench on the side, says, no, that's him asking you, you know, for the time, basically. Right. How many minutes in or how many minutes left in this thing. And so Propes learns a little thing or two. Mm-hmm. So that was also very funny. Tim then starts up shout-outs for not just himself. He starts shouting out everybody's family. So he does that. I also like Tim was doing a lot of stretching while he was on the platform. You notice that? There's always a lot of shots of him doing arm stretches
yeah,
and
you're
stuff.
Right.
So then the last round, because they're just on top here, a lot of people left. You got to balance on 1 foot. And they start dropping like flies here. So mm-hmm. Charlie goes. Then Tim goes. Then Venus goes. Then Hunter goes. Then Tiff goes. And that leaves Kenzie to win for Orange. I mean, she falls basically almost right at the exact same time as Tiff falling
in. It was close.
But she wins. So we're down to Maria and Tevin for the second immunity necklace. Tevin makes an insane recovery at one point.
That was impressive.
That was an impressive save. But then he falls in. Maria wins for purple, and she wins for her tribe. They're going to get the food. And there's a nice little moment, you know, her talking to Propes. She says, think about yourself out there. You've done so many more harder things than this, so it wasn't all that difficult. And, Propes then tells the losers group they're going back to the old Sega camp, so they're splitting them up here. And Hunter, as we go to break, says, I'm probably going to play my hidden immunity idol to make it through. And I wrote down, he is definitely not playing. I was like, I think they're putting that in there just to remind us.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on the challenge? One we've seen before, but definitely in different conditions here.
Again, this is great for the Emmy show because I think it could have been a huge dud with the calm water.
Yeah.
And I think they rescued it. Like, they were out there for 30 minutes. I don't know what else was talked about out there, but they're just such a it's turned into a nice little group of characters who, like, you know, will talk and talk shit, and the foiled game was funny. Like, all of it was just enjoyable to watch.
Yep.
And at the end of it, I was on the edge of my seat watching Tevin with his crazy save, and then I was, you know, rooting for people, and I was totally into it. And then they did I noticed that the winners, they've sort of got the memo, because the winners who won the food, basically, like, Venus got on her bum and then into the water to swim at. Like, two of them did. But then we saw some dives, mm-hmm. You know, we saw a beautiful dive from Hunter. Like, the best dive I've seen in a long time.
Wow, I missed it.
We got a nice dive from Tim. We got an aborted cannonball tray from Q.
Gave it up, though, huh?
Gave it up. He gave up in the middle.
Oh, man.
I can't do a full cannonball. That's going to you're going to paint a target on my back.
Soda did a plug of the nose.
She did.
You just noticed this.
I just noticed that the winners got into the water very respectfully. You know, because
oh,
there's been criticism in the past of, like, we just won an award, and then woo, like,
yeah,
you know,
backflip in
Coors Light commercial, you know, leaving the losers to yeah. to so the their celebration was very muted,
mm.
and then, you know, and then everybody else they got a chance to jump in too. But anyways, that's just something I noticed.
Great notes. That's why we do the podcast.
That's right. That's right.
Anything else on the challenge itself here?
No. I thought JD is right. The chatter absolutely saved it because it must have been so boring out there. At one point, Hunter literally says, y'all are being quiet now? And that's when they're on the second level. So probably nobody said anything the whole time they were down on the first level that they didn't even show us because right. it was so easy.
Yeah.
That would have been
yeah.
boring if they were all just completely locked in.
Yeah.
But instead, Q tried to distract everybody.
I liked Q talking the big game when he was on the platform, though what he did say for the most part, you know, what was his dad's lesson?
Yeah.
Like, you can't really talk shit when you're not in the game. So he kept it a little more quiet. Though then he started talking at one point, and Tim's like, hey, what about your dad's yeah. Tim?
That was funny.
That's some great stuff.
It was good. It was good.
And you don't get that in a 60-minute episode, you know? That's just what the shit that we've been asking for.
Okay.
And this season, we were like, it was a be careful what you wish for, but then we get this. And then we still got an hour after this.
I know.
It's like, it was so I was early. Like, what is going to happen in there? So anyway.
I thought the same thing. I was like, what? We have so much time left. What are they going to yeah. do?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, we get day 14 lunch reward. Venus tells Charlie that he is up on the chopping block because you're just looking at the numbers. You're looking at the tribal breakdowns. Charlie is in a tough spot here. But Tevin tells us, hold up. It's not Nami versus Sega. He wants to orchestrate a blindside. And then later, they're all just drunk on these tuna sandwiches and coffee. And they're just napping on the beach, which Charlie is not loving because he wants to, like, you know, I got to save my ass here. I got to start talking to people. Yeah. So Soda gets up with him. They go for a walk. And they talk about this, you know, the Nami strong fallacy, I guess. Soda tells Charlie they're going to vote Venus. But he's got to downplay it. You know, you can't be pumped up. You got to pretend maybe it's you so she doesn't play her shot in the dark or she doesn't do anything. Soda tells Tevin the plan, you know, this Venus plan, and he's not really feeling it. He gets a little drunk here on power. Tevin wants to start playing the game and, mm-hmm. like, calling some shots here. So he goes to Liz and pitches the idea of blindsiding Soda. Liz is in. And remember last week here on No Bus, we were like, I remember there was that scene where Hunter, I forget who he even told, but he slipped in, like, basically Liz doesn't like Soda. We were all like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Where the hell did that come yeah. from? We knew about Soda and Venus, and maybe even Soda and Tevin, a little power struggle, but what? Well, yeah, this was true. So Liz is in on this idea to blindside Soda. Tevin then tells Maria about the, you know, pour the soda out plan, I guess, or whatever. And then Tevin tells Charlie, and we go cut back to Venus, and she's just sitting alone at camp. There's a lot of moving parts here. So Venus then goes to Maria, throws out Tevin's name. And Maria's like, that Venus, she is oblivious. Like, what? I mean, like, this is a couple times now in this season where there's, like, a plan where her name was in consideration, Venus's, but then it's pivoted to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And maybe then she's folded into that conversation. And she's like, nah, I don't really want to go with that plan. It's like, why are you making this so much more difficult? So Venus goes and talks to Charlie and pitches two different plans. We could vote out Soda, or we could do a 3-2-1 blindside on Tevin. So I just chucked a lot at you there.
Yeah.
But this was really what was going on. This idea of Tevin sort of, hey, maybe we blindside Soda. A lot of talk originally about maybe we just get rid of Venus. You know, Charlie's like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Man, how is it not me?
Like, suddenly I'm good.
Yeah.
Just enough people talking to each other. My notes were just every Nami is going after each other.
Yeah.
Because clearly they're not together. And we've seen that Sega is very much sticking together, which kind of has gotten them got in the past couple of weeks. But yeah, they wanted to make a move. They haven't really voted anybody off. Nami hasn't up right. until now. So that's why they want to make moves. Tevin says he wants to orchestrate the first blindside of the season. R.I.P. Jim. She went home with an idol in her pocket.
Yeah.
The first one that he knows about, I guess.
Yes, right. Yes. He really, I always love this part of the game because players, they do, especially if they've been on a winning tribe for the good, you know, 2 weeks, they get to these, to the merge and to the option to vote people out. It's like, oh yeah, let's play. But I want to be in control.
Mm-hmm, right.
And people probably, they overplay their hands a lot of the time. I didn't come back to bite him in the ass, but
yeah.
What'd you think, JD?
Everything that Trey said, I agree with. Never underestimate how irritated you get with people just camping in the woods without having
of course
tribal council and stuff and just always winning. Like, Nami was number one basically throughout the whole thing, weren't they? I mean, they got the biggest prizes, didn't they, most of the time?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they had Hunter. They were winning a lot more.
They were killing it. So, you know, it just made made the cracks form. You know, and it's an interesting group of people, so there are definitely some friction there. But, yeah, and now they're ready to rip each other apart.
I know. Kudos to Charlie. Kudos to Charlie for the way he did play it, because, like I said, at first he was like, oh, God, they're all just napping. Like, he's probably freaking out a little bit, but he just sort of stayed cool and just let it all formulate here where, yeah, Nami wanting to go after Nami.
Yeah.
And he's like, he wasn't pressing anything, just like he, like you said, he says yes to everything, which is what you should do, and you just let it happen organically. He was like, okay, I guess I don't really need to be the one like, hey, we should go for this person, or what do you think about this person? Like, that was all coming to him.
Yeah,
he wasn't scrambling. And then we had Maria at Tribal Council basically being like, I have the immunity necklace, and nobody came up to me and even started wanting to work with me. So they're probably sitting there on the beach the whole day. They're like, these people are just going to take each other out. If we sit here and just wait, we'll be fine. And they were.
Yeah. So we do eventually jump over to the old Sega camp, and we'll get to them. But to come back to this group here a little bit later in the episode, we get this scene where Maria tells Venus, stop pressuring people. Stop pressuring me. She like puts her in her place. And that was a mom telling this much younger person in Venus, like, relax.
Right.
And the way you go about this, I don't like. I was like, whoa, okay. Again, she's got the necklace, maybe a little more, feel a little more entitled to say stuff like that when you know you're safe, but maybe she also needed to hear it. I don't know if it's going to change Venus at all.
I don't think she did hear it.
No, because she pivoted immediately to Charlie and says, you know what? Let's vote Soda. So, I mean, that's who's going to go home, but Charlie says he's going to play his shot in the dark. And we just get to the part where Charlie and Maria are deciding, are we voting Soda, who is a threat, like a big social threat in this game, or are we voting Venus, who is just unpredictable and is like an agent of chaos, and no one expects to win the game, but maybe we keep her around, but then again, she could blow up your game because she's so volatile. Right. So that's who they're deciding here when we before they head to Tribal Council, Soda or Venus.
Yep. And I think it comes down to Soda could have won the game, and Venus is probably going to Final Tribal Council and getting zero votes.
Right.
Which is why she stayed.
I think you're right.
Because to me, Venus is when you walk into a room and somebody waves at you and you wave back, and then you realize they're actually waving to somebody behind you. You're like, oh, I mean, you were waving in my direction, but it wasn't for me. That's how she's played the whole game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She's made some of the right reads. She was on the right side of this vote.
Yeah.
She's even getting credit for
it. I know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't her plan. I mean, it was, but the plan was already in action.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, let's go to day 14, the old Sega camp. So this is the other group. Kenzie says she is gaining some footing in this game. Again, great episode for Kenzie. I think maybe an MVP of this episode overall.
Mm-hmm.
Q tells us he jumped off the platform on purpose. We've already gone over that. He did it to test his alliance.
Okay.
He's like, I'm going in here and we're going to put this to the test. We get Q and Tim butting heads on who to vote for. Q wants Ben because he is not in the six, right? He is not in that plus one alliance, the journey alliance, whatever we're calling it, the wedding table alliance. Mm-hmm. But Tim wants Hunter. And I mean, mainly because he's just a huge threat. And also because he's Nami. That's that part as well.
That was his biggest pitch.
Yeah. He's trying to tell us that it's because he's probably the best person out there, mm-hmm. which Q, I love Q taking offense to. Q's like, are we sure that he's the best?
Q's like,
he's not going to win 10 individual immunity challenges. Fair, he lost this one even, but he's better than you, or he's shown he's better than you in these games on Survivor Q.
Q is like just stopping himself short, but like he's about to admit, I haven't been trying. This whole time I haven't been trying, Tim. He didn't, obviously.
He did but he was getting close. The idea here is Tim, and they pick up on this. Q does even. Q has good reads on a lot of the times, but just he just can only play his way and demands things from other people. But he sees that Tim is just trying to keep everything open here. The Plus One Alliance, the Sega Alliance, maybe even his tightness with Ben. He just wants to have everything on the table. And Q says, "Well, buddy, you're going home tonight, and you just don't know it." Because if you say to Q, "I don't really like your plan," he does not like to hear that.
That's his least favorite thing.
That means you're going to go. So when we come back to Old Sega after checking in with the other tribe, Tim tells Q and Tiff that they'll split votes between Hunter and Ben. But Tiff knows this is not about Hunter being a threat, like you were saying, JD. This is about Tim wants, Sega taking out Inami. This is all this is about, which is really funny at this point in the game. There's still these these tribal alliances, I guess. But, are there for some? Yes. Are there for others? No, as we're learning with Nami. So Tiff, Q, and Kenzie tell Hunter they're all going to vote for Tim. Hunter, again, is deciding whether he's going to play this idol. Never really felt like he was going to. I felt like a red herring a little bit. But Ben goes to Q, and they have a weird conversation. I thought this was one of the weirdest conversations. Where Ben, it's strange. They're talking about voting Hunter. And then, but Q is then but your name's going to come up and you might get a vote or two. Mm-hmm. And Hunter could play something and that could blow back on you. And you're okay with that.
Yeah.
It was just odd. And Ben's yep, no problem. Drops a Van Halen reference, I think. Or whatever. He's yeah. And so it ended oddly because then Q immediately goes and says, "We got to vote for Ben."
Yeah.
He's ready to go.
What did you want him to say? I thought Ben was, I guess maybe he was testing him or whatever, whatever Q's thinking was. But I thought what Ben was saying was exactly what you would want to hear. He's okay, I'm not going to freak out. Right. I get it that I'm the fake vote. Right. But we'll go Hunter.
You got to risk it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's I understand. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Right.
But then Q's like...
well, he's relaxed enough. He's saying that he doesn't care. So he's not going to play a shot in the dark, so let's get him.
Man.
Which I can sort of see well. But
shot in the dark, they overvalue this thing so much. Totally. And maybe if I'm out there, I think differently because it would be a shitty way for it to blow up in your face and for you to go. I get that. But man, they worry about it a little too much for the odds being so low.
Have they... They haven't seen season 45, I don't think, when this is being filmed. And that was the first time it hit, right? So they're probably out there wondering, this hasn't hit yet. It's guaranteed to hit the next time somebody plays it.
Yeah.
That's what I would be worried about.
They're just playing the odds. They're like, it's about to come up. Yeah. I don't know. So Kenzie and Tiff then say they're just getting tired of Q's gameplay. He's erratic. He's bossy. They're right.
He just doesn't like to be questioned. Tiff, the weird thing about that whole exchange is Tiff is yeah, we should be voting Ben. That's what I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. That's what I have been telling you. But why are you changing your mind all of a sudden? And then he's like, "Well, you want to go after Tim then?" No, I want Ben. But but she is kind of poking the bear as well, saying, "Well, he's playing you." It's
she dropped an even, I would say, more harsh word. She goes, "You're a sucker."
Right. Right.
She probably wishes she didn't say that because that really got him.
Yeah.
You're just being played. Yeah, you're a sucker. He just got you wrapped around your finger.
Right.
Now, again, Ben was not doing that.
I don't think he was.
I don't think he was. I think he was just damn, okay, we're going to try Hunter. Oh, yeah, my name's going to come up. Hopefully he doesn't have an idol or play the shot in the dark. But hey, if it's me, it's me.
He was very chill about it.
He was super chill about it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that spooked Q, but... It is ironic that a guy named Q never wants to be questioned. You saying that, JD, made me think of that. So let's go to Tribal Council. We will start with the Tiff, Kenzie, Hunter, Ben, Q, and Tim. That's part one. They're talking to Jeff first. Q talks about evening out the numbers when we again are talking Sega and Nami. Hunter says he would love to join the Yanu 3, just openly saying, "Hey, I made my case. I pitched my case to these guys. I'll be a part with them." And then Tim talks about how much of a threat Hunter is. I thought this was a really good tribal council, though. I liked Tim and Hunter, how they were battling. and like pitching their cases. And mm-hmm. then in comes Ben talking about how difficult it is to, separate the relationship in the game, the relationships within the game to the actual game itself. I thought all three like were having some good moments. It was going to be one of these three. We just didn't know if Hunter was playing his idol and stuff like that.
Right.
What'd you guys think of this one here?
I agree with you 100%, but I did find it a little cringe when Coach Q rears his ugly head again and just has had, I mean, I think he's being sincere and like just when he's highlighting how great Kenzie did on the challenge. And it's just like,
it came out of nowhere.
It was weird.
At
it was
least
just
in the
like,
edit.
Well, I think
game ball to Kenzie.
Yeah.
But it was weird because hey Jeff, I know you didn't ask me a question, but I got something to say. It's like, okay. Well, and then here's to Kenzie. And it's like, okay, great. I mean, nice, a nice gesture, I guess, but also a little weird, right?
Well, a nice gesture, but also in the game of Survivor, don't say that to me. I mean,
right.
Now, luckily, there was not the other tribe there, the other six.
Right.
They're not sitting there.
Yeah.
There's no jury yet.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do it when there's no jury.
Right. True.
So, but yeah, I did write that down after the nice back and forth between sort of Tim and Hunter and again, and Ben's really nice stuff. It was like, yeah, Q's like, Jeff, game ball. You're exactly right. That's what I wrote down too.
I think what sparked it off was when Kenzie was saying she was getting emotional and she's like, I hate this because you guys pulled me through that challenge. And it just so happened that they were all in the same tribe again. And it just killed her, to have to vote somebody out.
Yeah.
So from his perspective, his coaching brain, he's like, hey, don't sell yourself short. You
awesome.
Earned this.
Yeah.
And great. And yes, he is 100% right. It was sincere, but again, I don't know. It's a little weird, man. A little weird.
I think, I don't know. It does not feel like Q's going to be around much longer.
Nah.
We're getting a lot of Q.
We're getting a lot of Q.
And a lot of
right now,
people
yeah.
talking about Q and just a whole lot of scenes with Q. Yeah. It feels like it could be next
Q's
week.
Q's about
week
to flip the switch, Skeets. He is going to be a challenge beast from here on out. We're going to see the real Q.
Maybe he's got it with
time.
So then we go to vote. Does anybody want to play an idol? Hunter doesn't. Was anyone else, shocked, I guess, because I wasn't, but was anyone else going, oh, he might play it?
No.
I thought it was a question, at least, that he might play it, and at least that, like, it felt like three people were legitimately in the mix for going home right here, where I don't think that has been the case for most of the tribal councils
so far. He did get the first two votes, and he is going, oh, damn. Oh, crap. What have I done? But the next four votes, they come up Tim, and he is shocked. Good blindside.
Great blindside.
He had no clue he was going home. They got me. He, literally stops while he's walking out and, has a bit of a moment. Like, oh, man. Felt for him because that was a legit blindside. So Tim goes. I got it right in our Make Your Picks.
Oh, nice.
No Buffs Survivor. Yeah, that was cool. The one. No. I'm sorry. I got Soda right, not Tim.
Right.
Thought about it, but I didn't go Tim. I honestly thought it was going to be Ben because so much for the wedding table plus one alliance.
Totally.
Yeah, Q's like, how dare you go against the plus one alliance? I'm voting you out of our alliance.
I know.
They should have went for Ben.
I agree.
I think Ben has it. Well, I mean, certainly now, but I thought even going into, last night, I would say Ben would be ahead of Tim in the pecking order for winners.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of surprising, just because everybody seems to like Ben.
Yeah.
He gets everybody on his side, now that he's not the entertainment monkey.
Right.
They're just too caught up in Tim's playing a good game. Like, he's trying to keep all these paths open, and he wants to have his cake and eat it too and all that, but yeah, I'm with you. But Tim goes.
I thought for sure that Kenzie had voted for Ben just because she was so emotional when she came back.
Yeah,
was like, yeah, no.
Second tribal council, Soda, Liz, Maria, Charlie, Venus, Tevin. Soda says, quote, it's kind of clear where the numbers are. They're hinting at Charlie. Tevin talks a lot about how people are still playing this tribal game out of fear, like these alliances. Maria talks about how no one came and talked to her. Liz says something funny to that. I can't remember what her response is. Oh, she says
she got all gussied up. Yeah.
Sorry you got gussied up.
Liz then tells everyone she didn't bring her bag. She is
baller status, Liz.
Nami strong is what she's saying.
Yeah.
Like, I know what I'm doing. I'm pretty confident in my tribe here. Or my alliance. I'm not even bringing my bag. Okay.
That's a good move if you're blindsiding one of your own, right? Like,
Yeah.
We're sticking with the plan, and I'm that confident it's going to happen. I'm not even bringing my bag.
Yeah. Charlie says he talked to everyone today. Tease is playing a shot in the dark again. But they go to vote. Charlie doesn't play a shot in the dark. We get 6 total votes, and Soda voted out. 4-2. She gets up. She shakes Venus's hand. It was you, yeah? And Venus is like, hell yeah, it was me.
Right, it was
and then
me.
We get a shot of Tevin. Oh. Sort of under his breath, but out loud, you know, saying, no. He's pissed.
Oh, he's
it
mad.
Wasn't just you.
We're going to see some fallout.
Yeah.
From that.
But Tevin did vote for Venus. Now, that could be to cover his ass, shot in darks, and all that, but whatever.
Yeah.
He's pissed. He's pissed because, hey, I was a part of this. I've been wanting to get Soda out. And Soda goes. So Tim and Soda gone. What do you think of this tribal council?
I thought a great blindside to get Soda. I thought obviously a very funny fallout to it with Venus like putting her hand. Who would she have her hands on? She was sitting in the back row. Puts her like hands like on Maria and Charlie.
Charlie, yeah.
My children. Yeah. Thank you for doing this. Yep. And then Tevin just over there furious, like, I've worked this whole episode to be in charge of this blindside and they give it to her. That was awesome. So when's it going to come out is the question.
Yeah.
Who was leading that and how it actually went down?
Oh, next tribal council. That's the incident. But we'll get to that, I guess.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
He will not be able to let this just, like, give her the credit.
Nope.
Even though he probably should, even.
It's the next time he's going to see Soda, and he, in front of Soda, he's going to say...
Oh, at Tribal Council.
I got rid of you.
Oh, interesting. That, and you think that's what Propes is reacting to, maybe?
So that's my guess.
Jeff, before we start talking about tonight's vote, I would just like to say to Soda over there, that was me, that wasn't
that's
her.
That's right.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that. That's possible.
Got a politic in front of the jury.
Yeah, you do.
Totally. Well, he said in the in the first half of the episode, he's like, I want to do this blindside. I want to build my resume.
He is
playing the jury already before there even is a jury.
I know.
So, yeah, he is furious.
Okay. I can't wait. You're probably right. That's the episode. Flew by. 90 minutes. Any other notes from the actual episode? I know we got tree mail and all that, but any other final thoughts on it?
I mean, just RIP to my winner pick. I thought it was going to be Soda.
Oh, man. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, you know.
Too bad.
Made it longer than last season when I had Sean the Crier.
Hey, you got some points from Sean.
That's true.
I was racking up the crying points until he quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the finest camera work. Especially with the Venus, Charlie, Maria scene where, you know, he's pretending to sleep and then he's like, and there's just this wide shot of them talking, you know, and then they're getting ready to go to the tribal council and then we're on Charlie, rack focus as Venus comes into frame, she does these weird faces and then back to Charlie is just, chef's kiss. This is going to win them an Emmy.
Yeah. Wow, you are convinced. Mike Bloom, I saw a tweet too. I think it was when Q was, again, going at Charlie for telling Venus about the vote and all that. And then Q leaves. And Charlie almost like looks at the camera like Jim Halpert style from The Office. It was pretty good.
It was funny in this episode, I thought. Charlie was.
Yep, for totally. Sure. All right, we'll take we don't need to take a break. Let's just go right to tree mail. No break to collect my thoughts, at least here on YouTube. Maybe for you podcast listeners, you just heard a break or two. but here in tree mail, great questions once again. Let's start with Belle, who wrote, Q's attempt at starting a game during a challenge didn't pan out. But what game would you want to play to pass the time out there? All right, you're standing up there. It's pretty easy, let's say, for at least the first part. You're bored. What game would you like to try? Would it be the alphabet game? Would it be something else?
I would have been fine playing the alphabet game the way they tried to play it, just naming cities.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need that much intellectual stimulation on day 14.
Yeah.
Like, you're already at your wit's end. You're probably hungry. You're trying to balance on this thing, and now you want me to add in a mental part of it where I got to remember all this stuff? Let's just name cities. Let's just have categories. Name candy bars.
Yeah.
I'll pass the time.
Okay.
Yeah. I would play one of our favorite games, but put it into Survivor, which is name that guy we worked with. But name that Survivor character.
Name that Survivor character. Give a hint.
Yeah, exactly.
Give a hint or two.
Just trivia.
Or 20 questions even. Somebody think of a Survivor player, and then like as a group, is it a male?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Are they on, you know, whatever. Yes and no questions.
Did they win? That kind of
That's
thing.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's great. Oh, I mean, the editors would love that.
Oh,
you can have some fun with that, right? Yeah, flashbacks. That's good. Great question, Bill. Ryan, who says he's 6'8"? Very tall.
Okay.
If this is real. And we were asking for all your heights. Bell, please let us know your height. Ryan 6'8 says, is Tim the sexiest dad to play Survivor, as he claimed? Who are your top five Survivor dads? Enjoy your hot coffee and tuna salad sandwiches. this was Tim saying on his way out there. Yep. His final words is that he's the hottest dad to play Survivor. I'm not so sure about that.
I like that on Twitter, basically everybody afterwards was like, no way, it's Jeremy. How dare you say that? It's Jeremy.
Jeremy was the first to pop into my bio, actually.
Good looking guy. Was a dad out there at the time.
That's the hardest thing, is figuring out exactly who are dads, because you can find out the hottest Survivor guys pretty
easy.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say whether or not they had kids when they were on their season.
Right, right. Do you have anyone else besides Jeremy?
Ricard?
Ricard, very hot.
Yeah, big Ricard guy. Yeah.
Didn't make my list, but a hot guy.
He was very hot. And he was a dad.
Yeah. He was a dad. I believe he had a baby.
Young baby. For sure.
Okay.
When he played.
JD, anyone else?
I got Tony Vlachos.
I think Tony's hot, eh?
Yeah. Tony's sexy. The guy won Survivor twice. That is sexy.
Wait, he won because he's hot?
Well, he's pretty buff, you know.
Yeah, he's buff. I mean,
he's an intelligent guy. He's funny.
Yeah.
What more do you want in a man?
It's true. He is funny.
Hair.
I mean, okay. Fair enough. I also have Dark Horse, Shane Powers. Yes.
Talk about hair.
Yeah, he could have gave some to Tony. But, wow.
Yeah.
He was definitely a dad the first time.
Deep
out
voice.
There. Yeah.
He was funny. Funny guy.
Yeah. Irritated, but.
Well, that's just cigarettes. Cigarettes will do that. At least he didn't quit.
That's right. That's true. All right, great question. Who is the hottest dad to play Survivor? Do you think it's Tim, or do you think it's somebody whose name, or someone we missed?
Live Tribe saying it's Bruce from last season.
You know what? Okay.
Jeremy is much hotter than Bruce.
Jeremy's much hotter.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I would say Tim is hotter than, well.
No way. Come on.
Tim versus hotter? Bruce? Wow, tough call.
No.
We'll do a poll.
Although, you know, Tim's confident to sit there after not taking a dump for 13 days and call yourself sexy. I mean, that's I feel the least sexy when I have to take a dump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I guess you're right.
What about, I assume he had kids. He was a little bit older when he was out there the first time in Palau. Tom Westman.
Tom.
Silver Fox.
Yeah.
A good looking older man.
Totally.
Yeah, I assume he had kids.
Yeah, he must have had kids.
Yeah, because then he was treating the one guy like he was his kid. Remember that kid's long gangly guy? I forget. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Ian?
Yeah. Him. Okay. Tell us the hottest Survivor dad. Next one here. Zachary with 5 men. Tevin Q, Ben, Charlie, and Hunter, and 5 women. Kenzie, Tiff, Venus, Liz, and Maria. Do you think a man or woman is more likely to win? We are down to 10 people. Zach writes, I feel like more women are at the very bottom, like Liz and Venus, and at the top of the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Tiff and Maria, and I think you could even throw a Kenzie maybe in there.
I got Kenzie.
So I think that's interesting. I think he's sort of right. I think Liz and Venus would be on, if you ranked the 10 remaining players, I think they would be lower for chances to win.
Yes.
I'm not saying to go far still, but Liz and Venus, and then those three other women, I think very, very high. Probably in the top 5 at least, but if not top 4 or 3, the three of them. So
yeah.
Or woman?
My top 3 women are Maria, Tiff, and Kenzie.
Okay.
In that order.
Yeah, sure.
And I could see Maria or Tiff easily taking this game.
Yep.
In the men's side, my top 3, Hunter, Charlie, Tevin. Tevin, I don't know. He's playing very emotionally right now. I think he's going to implode on the next episode, as I said.
Yep.
So Hunter's got a chance, but he'll be a massive target. And then there's Charlie, who's Maria's right-hand man. So I think it's a woman. I think it's going to be Maria or Tiff.
Okay. What do you think?
I think JD's right. I think it's a bunch of middlemen here. They're all kind of stuck in the middle. I think I would probably throw Ben into the mix as a potential winner, but this was not the greatest episode for him just because it feels like he's going to become a target now that Siga is starting to fracture and he's such a social player. So maybe that's a strike against him. But it does seem to me like I think I would probably have Maria in the lead right now, ultimately, just because of where she stands with Charlie and how well they're playing together. But Tiff and Kenzie, I think, are doing really good. They seem to be a little bit closer than Q and Tiff are now, and we're seeing the Yanu, the purple, like, they're really helping decide this stuff right now.
I know. Here's where I'm at with Tiff and Kenzie, because we've been seeing the breadcrumbs over the last couple episodes. Like, will it help their game, the two of theirs, to get rid of Q soon?
Yes.
Not now. A, because he's annoying and he wants to dictate everything, but just, like, maybe getting rid of him, just one more number gone. I know it sounds insane. It's like, why would you want to get rid of somebody in your alliance? But, like, then they're just the pair, and then they can really go with whatever side they need to go with. Something to that to me. Who also has an idol? Hunter.
Yep.
Maria.
And Tiff.
And Tiff. So keep that in mind. We got three idols. Will an idol be placed here on the beach with Nui Nui down to 10? Probably not.
Maria
till
has
one
an idol?
Maybe she doesn't.
No, I don't think so. What?
I'm sorry.
You're right. Jem had it.
Jem had it.
So there's two idols out in
good
the
good correction.
And Tevin has an extra vote.
Yeah.
Right.
And Maria already burnt hers.
Used hers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Tiff and Hunter have idols.
Right.
Mitch wants to know, do you wish Jeff would bring back bribing people with food during the endurance challenges? Obviously, there's a very famous peanut butter and jelly one from the Amazon way back in the day. Could that have used some bribing from Propes last night? Would that have made it a little more interesting to you guys? Or do you like that, at least in some of these endurance challenges?
I do like it. I do like the bribing in general, but Jeff doesn't want to be out there that long. So the challenges don't go as long, so you don't need to bribe people if it lasts a half hour.
Yeah, yeah. You're saying only for ones that are like 3-4 hours, like that could go that long. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it too, but I just don't want to see it everyone. So every once in a while is the way to go about it.
When there's a lot of standing around, yeah. It's fun to see, even if it's a half hour challenge, it's just like, well, you could stay up there for a half hour, or I've got this delicious peanut butter sandwich for you.
Yeah.
And how safe do you feel?
That's it.
And that's the fun part, right?
Matt B, I'm tired of the we need to keep insert tribe name strong argument at the beginning of every merge. Do you think it's possible to have a tribeless Survivor season so all 18 contestants are on one beach from the beginning? Matt wants to get rid of tribes. I was going to say it's like one world, but they did have tribes. They were just all on the same beach,
right?
To start the game, the one that Kim went on to win. I don't know.
It'd be 18 people will go to the first tribal council?
That's the weird part here, where it's just individual immunity from the start.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. Here's my pitch. You got 18 people. They're all castaways on the same beach. No tribes, right?
Okay, to start the game.
So you let them stew for a day or two, right? Then they go to an individual immunity challenge. You dole out whatever. More than one immunity. It's like gold, silver, bronze.
Okay, three.
You get three.
Okay.
Three immunity. Then everybody votes somebody off. Then the next day, here's your buffs, schoolyard pick. You've had a chance to hang out, see who you like, who's strong, who's not strong. You know, your social game has gotten, you know, a little bit of play. You've had a chance to talk to everybody, and you've seen everybody do an individual challenge. So let's pick teams. And maybe there's three team captains and you all.
Oh, okay.
So maybe start with 19, I'm terrible at math, but you know what I mean. Like, yeah. Just so that they're equal.
Yeah.
And then you see the schoolyard pick, so you see the hoorays and the devastation. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Could be something there.
Something. It's different. It's different.
Different.
Who knows? I mean, that could go poorly, I guess.
I guess.
But it could also work.
It's a way to even out the teams as well, right? Like,
yeah,
in a way.
I mean, they have done schoolyard picks in past seasons. We talked about that last week. And, like, you would think like, oh, that's a great way to even it out. Like, they wouldn't be dumb to like have one powerhouse team and one crappy team. That's happened.
Yeah. True.
They've done some dumbass picking.
That's true.
Got waxed because, you know, you're picking your friends or you're just like a clueless person. And you're like, why are you not taking Hunter here? He's right there. He should be your number one pick probably if you want to win the challenge. Anyway. Something. I didn't mind that.
Maybe it's maybe it's like an All-Stars 50. You know, they do it for 50.
Oh, returning players is interesting.
So then you do the same exact thing, but everybody knows.
Merges
I know, but that's the thing, right? Like, how would that mess that up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Any thoughts?
I would like to see them go to one tribe when they're in the merge. Because they've had two separate split-ups for both merges. So
yeah, we still haven't. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're drawing rocks to just randomly split up teams.
Yeah.
Which I did like last night. I liked both blind sides, which was great. And,
you know, all of Yanu got on the same tribe both times.
Yeah, yeah.
Just put them all together and actually make Sega, like, campaign for themselves. Because, I don't know. It feels weird to me when they are actually all together and then we're still splitting them up time and time again. It makes it easier to tell the story. It did give us two awesome blind sides, but...
It also tests the alliance, right? It actually does address this problem of, hey, we're staying Sega strong over here, so... But if they're all split up,
you're saying if they're all one,
the split actually addresses that.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, we should be next week, I assume.
It's on.
10 people.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we at? 3 Yanu and 4 and 4?
That doesn't add up.
Yeah. So what are we down to? Somebody's got to have
There's one extra Nami, I think, right?
4 Nami, 3 Sega. It's Maria, Ben, Charlie. Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah.
Because they lost that first one.
Yeah. Hunter, Liz, Tevin, and Venus.
Yeah. Okay. So 4 Nami, 3 Sega, 3 Yanu.
Yep.
Yeah. Both and Nami is fractured.
Oh, yeah, they are. All right, final one here from Adriel. Who is the highest threat level at this point in the game? Who do you think? Not who you think is going to win. Who at this point has that highest threat level to the rest of the people out there?
Hunter.
Hunter? Okay.
I agree.
Think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Just because of...
Challenge Beast.
Yep.
He was the one man out on this last split up, and he survived it easily. Didn't even – he talked about playing his idol, but I don't think that was ever in play.
Okay.
So, yeah.
If not him, who's next? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Who are they looking at?
Ben
as a threat?
Just from social
element?
So, I mean, yeah. Socially, yeah. I don't think he's... I feel like he's not playing the game, and maybe that's just his edit. But I don't know. He was pretty chill about, hey, yeah, throw my name out there.
That's like, a great point.
Yeah, very chill.
I don't know. Like, traditionally, that's not something that a Survivor player who...
feels threatened by.
You know, should be like, to anybody but me. I don't want to hear of my name out there. So... I think he's a super good natured guy, and everybody seems to love him. So, yeah, he's an obvious threat. Easy vote, I guess. But
great questions, guys. Good stuff. Make your picks. Our No Buffs Fantasy Survivor Pool. Few notes. MYP considered Maria's win an individual performance, so she got credit for individual reward, even though others got to enjoy the reward. Those tuna sandwiches and all that crap. Ugh.
Yeah, you don't like tuna. It was because of the mayo, right?
I don't like tuna sandwiches, yeah. I have to say that was one of the worst looking food rewards. Like, sure, I'm going to take down a Danish.
Yeah.
I'd be pumped about coffee. Yeah. But, like, overall, I don't think that was a good looking one, like you guys said.
It was the cheese Danish that made Tevin finally say, Lord Jesus. I'm like, I'm with you, man. Cheese Danish.
Yeah, that'd be good.
A good cheese Danish, when it hits, it hits.
Make Your Pick said that they did the same thing last year. You know, they made that same call last season, so no surprises for repeat players. So that's the scoring there. Maria had a big night, helped me out. I did have Soda. I picked Soda, and I picked Ben. I thought the wedding table alliance would last at least basically one
more
week.
More than a second.
Yeah, more than a second. But
do you think it's still intact? I mean, you can just slide Charlie right in
there. I sort of do. Yeah, it's like, hey, I thought I was bringing this date to the wedding, but I still have a plus one.
Yeah.
Who am I slotting in? Who am I bringing?
He couldn't make
you
it.
Like
he
chicken a la king?
Too constipated. So he had to go. So here's this.
Yeah. It should be Charlie.
Yeah. Charlie's
because
in there.
Maria was surprised Tim picked her as the plus one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Maria was the plus one. She is now the actual invite.
Right.
And Charlie should be the plus one. So yeah. Maybe. We'll see. We'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, but Maria didn't know she was in the plus one alliance. So is she in it? I don't think
she
so.
She said she was last night. She specifically said, I'm in this alliance of six, the plus one
yeah.
alliance.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
So I can see her just going to queue and say, hey, Charlie's my guy now.
Yeah, that'd be honestly a slick
why,
move.
Why wouldn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, it's like, hey, it's a perfect number. There's 10 people here.
Yeah.
And we're six. We're good. Well, let's just pick out these other four people. Now that's going to leave Kenzie out.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to leave Liz out. That's going to leave Venus out, and that's going to leave Ben out in that scenario.
Right. So Ben's going home next is what you're saying.
No, I'm curious, like when you brought it up, it's like, will we even hear the plus one alliance said again? Will
I think
it even come
for.
Up? Yeah. Right.
I think the alliance going forward for anybody that's in the plus one will be Q and Tiff. They seem close.
Yeah.
Hunter and Tevin seem close.
Yeah.
And then Hunter and Q. I think at least Q really likes Hunter because Hunter always beats Q, so he gives him a lot of respect. So those four I can see sticking together.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
The Tiff Q is the one. How long is that going to last?
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of Tiff right. saying, I'm getting a little tired of this.
Yeah.
And as we talked about, is it in her best interest to even get rid of him? We will see. Next time on Survivor, it's called Hide and Seek. And that is because Hunter is hiding in a damn tree.
Yeah, buddy.
Like, it looked very high, and yes. he looked very hidden. I'll give it that. I'll give that to him.
Why is the question?
Why?
Sky Shack.
I mean, yeah, it appears to be that. Who is he eavesdropping on? Or trying to, at least. They're like, they don't even know where he is.
Yeah.
No.
Hunter! It reminds me of the time I did play hide and seek once, and I hid in a tree. I think I've shared this story before. And I was like, I was way up there. Huge tree. Just managed to scramble up there, and they're all looking for me. Nobody's finding me. To the point where they now have to go and get adults, parents, where is he? And then, like, you get to the situation, like, how long do I stick this out?
Yeah.
And I was up there for a while.
Wow. Fire department show up?
No, we didn't get that far. Yeah. We eventually, it was starting to get... I think my mom maybe sensed that I was somewhere, but she couldn't see me. It was like, you know, they got a little like angry. Like, right. you better show your face here now. Or probably was like, we're going to call, find you, cops or whatever. So anyway, he's up in the tree. Tevin is laughing hysterically, and Liz does not seem to be feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Q says, she broke my rule. And we see a shot of Tiff.
Oh, no.
And this is where Q says, I'm a mob boss. Charlie tells Maria this game is getting crazy, so we could be in store for a really good one here. And at Tribal Council, Jeff Probst says, I've never seen anything like this, as Soda gasps. Yeah. So, and your working theory is something to do with Tevin.
Tevin
literally saying,
Venus.
I got you out.
Yeah.
And I want the credit.
I don't know.
I guess it's possible.
It's possible. I just hope it's not a quit or something like that.
No. They're almost done.
You're right.
Yeah, like 2 weeks. Yeah.
Less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They got like 11. That was night 14. Yeah, they got 11 days.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think we're quitting. I don't think they're quitting.
Okay.
But who's going home? Call your shot.
I'm putting Q in the mix. He's one of my vote outs.
I think I'm going to do that as well. I am.
The other one I'm a little unsure of.
Yeah.
I mean, Venus has been on the bottom.
Yeah, but
a
doesn't
lot.
It feel
she's,
like every time this happens, she's just going to. It
too.
Like makes her stronger for to go longer.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She needs to keep playing this game exactly the same way. Like every time, you know, her name comes up, somebody comes to her with a one plan, she's like, no, let's just do this plan instead. People get pissed off with her, but then they just like don't vote for her.
Hmm.
And she'll just keep staying there. Probably won't win the game, but anyway. Okay, Q, and you don't know because, we do get two votes. Or I don't know. Do we get two votes still in Make Your Picks? I didn't check.
Yeah, we do get two votes.
Okay. Even though we think only one person should be going next week.
Yeah.
Episode 8.
Liz? Why?
Why?
I could see Liz making the finals easily at this point.
Yeah.
This is tough.
This is a tough one.
This is very tough. Q is the one where it's like, okay, they're showing us maybe why.
Yeah.
And then you said Venus, but we're disagreeing. Like, we just think, I don't know. That's just how she plays. And they're like, keep her around.
Yeah, put me down for Ben.
Okay.
Hedge my bends.
Hedge my bends.
I don't know. He's sort of after Tim left.
That's true. Know,
like Charlie is attached to Maria, so he's sort of by himself on Sega. Although he does have
Kenzie.
He does have Kenzie.
He has Kenzie, and like I think Charlie and Maria have no problem sticking with him.
Right.
The Vibe Tribe still holding on strong.
Yep.
Okay.
It's tough to see him now, as I was thinking him last night. I was just solely going on numbers. You know, I did see a bit of a tease. There was a promo from Survivor showing us them in the water, and you could see the teams because they were on different colored platforms.
Oh.
Again, shout out to Mike Bloom. So it helped me change my vote. I was like, oh, he's in a tough spot if he doesn't win this.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? Put me down for Tevin. Because I think there is going to be a blow up.
Yeah.
Maybe not at Tribal Council, but there's going to be some sort of friction.
Right.
And then they'll be like, this guy's playing the game. He's building his resume.
His resume. He said the keyword resume.
He's getting too. We got to get rid of him.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
You can't say you're a doctor or a lawyer. You cannot say you're building a resume.
No.
No.
You can't say Aubrey is your favorite player.
No, we've learned that.
God.
We're getting a list of like commandments. Survivor
it's like, didn't Boston Rob wrote a book on how to win Survivor or whatever? Like these rules to win Survivor?
Yeah.
We should have a new book of like, just do not say these things. You're good. Yeah. You have a better chance to win. All right, let's call it there, guys. Thanks to everybody for joining us live right now on YouTube. Podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We will be back next week for episode 8. And let's hear your thoughts on this episode, who went home, and most importantly, who's going home next. Call your shot, especially when it comes to make your picks. Till then, though, the tribe has spoken.